It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and online at www.rir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbrand.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
It harms honest employers. It actually also harms our state government. It harms the federal government. But specifically, it harms honest employers because what happens is the honest employers are paying a lot more for their employees, and they're funding the state and federal coffers and programs and taxes and Medicare and Social Security, where the dishonest employers are not paying their fair share. Virginia's Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission did an employee misclassification study in 2011, and nationwide, employee misclassification studies show that roughly 30% of employers misclassify, and they do so to save money. And the Joint Legislative Audit Review Commission study, we call it JLARC, they found the same thing, that Virginia employers were misclassifying to the tune of 30% of employers. And when they did so, they were saving 40% by misclassifying.
Laura Collins at the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission explores the problem of misclassification of workers and what to do about it. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll find out how Richmond Public Schools became the first hunger-free schools in Virginia. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 251, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.rir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Last month, the Richmond Public Schools became one of the first school systems in Virginia to implement the Community Eligibility Provision, or CEP, district-wide. CEP provides an alternative approach for offering school meals to local schools in low-income areas, instead of collecting individual applications for free and reduced-priced meals. CEP allows schools that serve predominantly low-income children to offer free, nutritious school meals to all students through the National School Lunch and School Breakfast programs. As a result, Richmond Public Schools provide breakfast and lunch to all students at no charge this school year. The program removes the barriers between students and nutritious foods. CEP supports hunger-free schools and strengthens the entire community by helping to ensure that low-income children have access to healthy meals at school. CEP also improves efficiency by eliminating the administrative process of managing free and reduced lunch applications. There are 86 individual school sites in Virginia that participate in CEP. This means that 43,000 students across the Commonwealth receive breakfast and lunch at no charge. We hope that this number increases in the coming years. In other news, the Pew Charitable Trust recently released a new report, Fraud and Abuse Online, Harmful Practices in Internet Payday Lending. Nothing in this report surprises Legal Aid, because we hear almost every day from people who call for help with an online loan. Nevertheless, it is shocking to see the key findings from this report. 46% of online borrowers report that a lender made withdrawals that overdrew their checking accounts. 30% of online payday loan borrowers report being threatened by a lender or debt collector. And a 655% annual percentage rate is typical for lump sum online payday loans. A lot of Virginians turn to online loans to get relief from a difficult financial problem, only to wind up with a much bigger problem. Bank account overdrawn, check to the grocery store bouncing, debt collectors and scammers calling you, your boss, and your family, threatening to put you in jail. And maybe the biggest problem of all, your personal financial information bought and sold many times. If you have never gotten an online loan, please don't do it. If you have gotten one of these loans and you are in trouble or under harassment, call the Payday Loan Hotline at 866-830-4501. Remember, internet loans are illegal in Virginia. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Workers' Compensation Commission, and we are speaking again with Laura Collins. She's an attorney with and insurance manager for the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission. And today we will be talking about the misclassification of employees as independent contractors. Welcome back to the show, Laura.
Thank you, Marty. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. And so for our listening audience, would you tell them in general terms, what is the definition of an employee?
An employee, actually under workers' compensation law, an employee is quite broadly defined. It's any worker under any contract of hire. It could be a written contract, an oral contract, minors, family workers working for the business, undocumented workers. It's tremendously broad. It's anybody who's receiving some form of compensation.
And what about an independent contractor? What would be the general definition of an independent contractor?
We don't actually have a definition of independent contractor under workers' compensation law in Virginia. Some states do have a definition, and that makes it a little gray, but what we look at over and over is court decisions, and the courts have looked at this over and over again. They've applied what we call a four-prong test. They look at, was the worker selected? Can they be dismissed? Do they earn pay or wages? And does the business that selected them, do they exert or can they exert any control over the manner or the means of how the worker performs their work? If those factors exist, or if most of those factors exist, particularly the last factor, these control tests, then it's more an employee-employment relationship and not an independent contractor. If they don't exist, then it's more likely to be an independent contractor. But you have to view it on a case-by-case basis.
And you mentioned court decisions on a case-by-case basis. So that we can understand this a little better, can you give us some examples of actual cases where the decision was made, whether a worker was an employee or was an independent contractor?
Sure. I've looked at quite a few cases calling folks an independent contractor versus an employee is pretty common, more common in certain industries, construction, the trades, the healthcare industry, the IT industry, the food service industry. And I'll give you one case, a taxi cab case. There was a taxi cab driver. He was, of course, injured. And the cab company had drivers all drive cabs that had the cab company's name on the cabs. The cab drivers had to pick up all the fares that the dispatcher told them about. The cab drivers could drive wherever they wanted. They weren't allowed to smoke in the cabs. They weren't allowed to pick up fares outside of what the dispatcher listed. So, of course, they were selected. They could be terminated. They didn't earn regular pay, but they earned some form of commission. So you look at those four factors. They were selected. They could be terminated. They earned some kind of pay. And there were some rules established. They couldn't smoke, and they couldn't pick up their own fares. They were stuck with the fares that they were assigned. So there was some control. So there's those four factors. That's just one example.
So my understanding is that it absolutely doesn't matter the label that the employer puts on the relationship, whether it's a label of employee or a label of independent contractor. An agency like the workers' compensation is going to go beyond the label and look at those four factors on a case-by-case basis.
That's correct, and that's really important to stress, Marty, because an injured worker, somebody could be called an independent contractor. They can be paid on a 1099 or in cash, and they might have even agreed to that because they wanted the work, but they could get injured, and they can file a workers' compensation claim, and it will be adjudicated on the facts, and the commission will look at the facts of the work relationship and whether there's any control, and they will make their own determination of whether that worker was an employee or not.
So in general terms, why does this matter, whether someone is regarded as an employee or whether a worker is regarded as an independent contractor? Why does this matter?
It's a very important matter because employees get a lot of worker protections and a lot of benefits, and independent contractors lose out on many worker protections and many benefits.
And what are some of those worker protections and employee benefits? How does being classified or misclassified, really, as an independent contractor, how does that harm a worker?
Well, workers might not be aware of this, but the worker protections that are out there, if you're an employee, the Fair Labor Standards Act, entitlement to minimum wage and overtime, workers' compensation, unemployment, employment security, these are all worker protections. And in terms of benefits, when you're hired as an employee, you have taxes taken out, state taxes, federal taxes, Medicare, Social Security, and a lot of this goes to long-term and to your older years. So this all adds up over time and can really add up to a lot of dollars and family medical leave and sick leave and all kinds of other benefits.
So if someone has been misclassified as an independent contractor, they're losing a lot of these benefits. How does this misclassification of employees as independent contractors, how does it harm other employers who may not be doing this?
It harms honest employers. It actually also harms our state government. It harms the federal government. But specifically, it harms honest employers because what happens is the honest employers are paying a lot more for their employees, and they're funding the state and federal coffers and programs and taxes and Medicare and Social Security, where the dishonest employers are not paying their fair share. Virginia's Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission did an employee misclassification study in 2011, and nationwide, employee misclassification studies show that roughly 30% of employers misclassify, and they do so to save money. And the Joint Legislative Audit Review Commission study, we call it JLARC, they found the same thing, that Virginia employers were misclassifying to the tune of 30% of employers. And when they did so, they were saving 40% by misclassifying. So they were saving 40% of on business costs by misclassifying. They also found that, for example, they estimated that lost general fund revenue to Virginia was $28 million for just 2010 alone. And of course, there's lost general fund revenue every single year. So what happens is Virginia's losing out. All of the taxpayers are losing out. This year we had a budget shortfall, more than anticipated. Imagine if that $28 million was in 2010 and in all these other years. So it does affect the taxpayers. It does affect honest employers. Honest employers are paying higher rates of workers' compensation, higher rates of unemployment, and funding more that the misclassifying employers are not paying.
Well, it sounds like a big problem, and it sounds like a problem that is increasing in its scope. Are there any penalties or disincentives that would compel these dishonest employers who are misclassifying, who aren't paying their fair share, to do the right thing or else face some sort of disincentive or penalty for what they're doing?
Yes. There are some penalties. What's happened is these studies have been occurring over the past 10 to 12 years, and it's become known as a larger and larger and larger problem. And so more recently, over the past 5 years, more and more states and the federal government has been taking more and more action. At this point in time, 30 states now have a law on misclassification. Some have very, very steep penalties. More and more have definitions of independent contractor. Virginia doesn't currently have a law on employee misclassification, but for example, New York has something called the Fair Play Act. They have a $2,500 fine per employee misclassified. They even have criminal penalties. You can be thrown in jail for 30 days for misclassifying. I mean, there are some very steep penalties out there in some states. But the other thing that's happened is the federal government has taken some great initiative. They have something called the Misclassification Initiative. It's with the U.S. Department of Labor. And what they have done is they've done a lot of partnering with the IRS and states to collaborate on enforcement, and that's occurring right here in Richmond, Virginia. They had a particular enforcement initiative in the construction industry and have issued some penalties against some Virginia employers that were found to misclassify. So they hired a lot of extra enforcement folks and have been cracking down and issuing some pretty steep penalties. And if you look on the U.S. Department of Labor website, like www.dol.gov or Google Misclassification Initiative, you can see reams of press releases with giant penalties. And there's also been some really huge Fair Labor Standards Act settlements. Microsoft settled for $97 million. Just recently, Lowe's Home Center settled for $6.5 million because employers don't misclassify just one or two people. They misclassify a whole bunch of people. So you get fined for misclassifying many employees.
Now, you mentioned earlier that some states, 30-some states, have statutes or penalties for misclassification. Virginia is not one of them currently. I wonder, has there been any effort at all to persuade the General Assembly that adopting something like this would be a good idea? I mean, I know that Virginia always tries to be number one for business and very business friendly, but earlier you said that this is business friendly, that this really helps the honest employers who are suffering at the hands of the dishonest employers. So has there been, to your knowledge, any effort to get something like this done in Virginia?
Well, that JLARC study that indicated that we were losing lost general fund revenue, it also indicated we're losing workers' comp premium and unemployment security. They did recommend out of that task force that they did recommend out of that study that there be a task force on employee misclassification. And last I checked, there has not been any further development along that line. But certainly, who knows what will happen in the future? And maybe with the budget the way it is, maybe that's something they'll be looking at going, taking further action on. A lot of states are taking action on this each year.
Well, with this problem existing and this problem apparently increasing year by year, more and more workers are going to be affected by this being classified, misclassified as an independent contractor, losing in on these benefits, which they would get as an employee. So if some worker feels that he or she has been misclassified and is losing out on these worker benefits and protections, what should he or she do about that?
Well, there is, again, there is a U.S. Department of Labor wage and hour office right here in Richmond. The phone number is 804-771-2995. It's a challenging time. You know, it's not easy to find a job. People want to accept jobs. Employers are misclassifying at a higher rate than ever. Workers don't know what they're missing out on. It's hard to get the word out. It's hard when you're a worker that a young worker or a worker who isn't aware of all the protections and benefits you're missing out on. You want to accept the work, but this is becoming a huge issue, and folks should be aware of it. And you need to, if you hear this, you need to think if any of your family or friends are in this situation, and it's best to try to correct it.
And finally, if people want to get more information about misclassification, what are some good resources for them?
The U.S. Department of Labor website is very helpful. I'm a big fan of Googling. You just put in employee misclassification. There's reams of stuff out there. There's just so much out there. And the government accountability offices put stuff out there. It's really getting to be a very big issue.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Laura Collins. She is an attorney with and insurance manager for the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission. And we have been speaking today about the misclassification of employees as independent contractors, the various benefits and protections that people are missing out on, why this is done and why this is becoming a big problem, and what people ought to do about it. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. The open enrollment period for the health insurance marketplace is November 15 through February 15. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when health insurance navigator Amelia Goldsmith explains what you need to know about obtaining and keeping private health insurance under Obamacare. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.